On Saturday, March 30th, the Center for African American Health conducts its annual Collaborative Health Expo. The event is one of the center's outreaches to promote and support wellness to obtain the highest level of health for African Americans in Colorado. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. Established as the Denver Black Church Initiative, in 2005, the organization refocused its work toward ending the health disparities impacting African-American communities. As the center is not a hospital, an urgent care, nor medical facility, their emphasis is on health education so African-American individuals and families can make better informed health decisions. Among its range of active programs are diabetes self-empowerment education, self-care Saturdays, mental health and first aid training, and age mastery for older adults. On this edition, it's Insight to the Center for African American Health and the Health Expo with Center Executive Director, Ms. Deidre Johnson. I guess it's been at least 10 or 15 years since we as a society have been dealing with African Americans and health disparities. Have we seen any changes now in 2024 regarding African Americans in health? Are we getting better care? Are we getting better service now? What changes has the center seen?
You know, I have to be honest, I don't think we have. And the disparities we see are generational. And so the interesting thing about it is today there are many diseases, most diseases you think of, we are more likely not only to get the disease, but to die from it. So thinking about asthma, heart disease, diabetes, maternal and infant mortality, HIV and AIDS, and a roster of others, we're typically 3 to 4 times more likely to get it and die from it. And then there's also the challenge of, even if we get access to care, that care is likely going to be biased. And so there's been studies that have shown that, all things being equal, a Black patient is not going to receive the best cardiac care or the best maternal care. And so I think if anything, the only new thing that's happened in the past decade is people acknowledging it and saying that something must be done about it. But the gap itself hasn't closed. And the other interesting thing about it is we know that, you know, if you live in a poor neighborhood, or you have substandard education, or you don't have a good job, or you're food insecure, that you've got challenges. But even when you control for income and education, we still have excess death. So when you look at maternal mortality, regardless of income and education, we tend to die more when it comes to the maternal experience. And what's interesting about that is, you could take a white woman who has a high school diploma.
Yeah.
She's guaranteed to have a better birth outcome than a Black woman with a PhD.
Really?
And yeah. And the real reason all these things, the reason why we exist, is racism.
Yeah.
Racism has long been a public health emergency.
Yeah.
It's just only recently we've acknowledged it as such.
Is it a situation then where if we're calling for medical assistance on a telephone, everybody responds, everybody's there, but as soon as they see you're African American, they go, oh, well, I guess I can just take my time with this? Is that systematic, or is it just personal bias that enters in and the people that are delivering the service don't even know that they're doing that?
I think it's both. So, for instance, even the way, you know, when you think, look at how our health system has evolved over time. People are even taught things in med school about us that now they're finally acknowledging aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
And so measures of kidney function and other things that you always may have noticed, oh, it's different for African Americans, those things actually aren't true. And so those are slowly being dispelled. And, you know, we live in America.
Yeah.
And the racism that is in the groundwater of the country we live in, you're not going to escape it. We see it bubbling up in the education system. We see it bubbling up in the health system. Unfortunately, our country is getting the exact outcomes you would expect given how things have unfolded over the years. But the good thing is, what I'm more optimistic about now is people are acknowledging it and calling it out. But what I always remind folks is, you know, it's great that you now realize there's bias or there's racism, but that's not the finish line.
Right.
The finish line is, what are we going to do so these disparities can go away? What are we going to do so that a black person has an equal chance of living as long as someone from another group? For at least 20 years, we've been able to measure mortality rates by the zip code.
Really?
But we haven't done anything. But you can tell where, oh, someone living in this wealthier zip code might have sometimes in some cities 10 years more life expectancy simply because of the resources and care they can access.
Yeah. Is it a situation where, for example, if I need to find a doctor and I get to one, I pick a doctor out and he's not working out, then I need to shop for another doctor the way I may shop for another car until I find some place I'm getting the care I need with a better matchup?
Yes, most definitely. The other challenge is we're not well represented in the workforce.
Yeah.
And so it's often hard to find not only black doctors, but black doctors in a specific specialty. One of the things we've been really fortunate to do, and we started during COVID, is we have a partnership with a group called the Therapist of Color Collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, folks come to us, get screened, and we connect them with therapists that reflect their community. And what we found is a very, very high success rate of people getting matched with care and going to all their therapy sessions.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of folks who have never been in therapy before. So we've been able to demonstrate that if you match a therapist, I mean, someone with a therapist who reflects their culture, stigma fades away, and they connect and get the care that they need.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think regardless of the specialty or the field, we're just not well represented.
Mm-hmm.
There's some folks that are working on that. I'm very proud of my youngest. He is, I'm a pre-med student right now.
Oh, great.
And yeah, when he wrote his essay, one of the things he mentioned was that need for there to be more diverse, to be more black doctors. And he especially saw that when he was volunteering at the center when he was younger. But what I also let people know or remind them is, because sometimes people will say, oh, it's because they're not interested or they don't want to do this and that.
Yeah.
My mother is a retired nurse, and becoming a medical professional in this country, there are barriers, there's bias. It's a hard road.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to someone being interested, you've got to have the supports and resources to make it through the system.
Yeah. That is for sure. Since you touched a bit on the therapy and the therapist, are African Americans being more concerned about their mental health these days? Because once upon a time, if you mentioned mental health, everybody thought you were crazy and nobody wanted to deal with it at all. Are we becoming a little more accountable about our own mental health, and we need to be mentally healthy as well as physically healthy?
I think so. I think it's primarily because when COVID hit, it affected all communities. In our case, I believe not only locally, but nationally, we lost half of the black businesses. And that's over and above the excess death we experienced from contracting the disease, not to mention job loss, increased housing and food insecurity. And there was such a higher level of stress that I think everyone understood, hey, we need some help, we need some supports. Now, it doesn't mean that it goes away, but the challenging thing is, yes, I think I need some mental health supports. Where do I go?
Yeah.
And where do I go so that I am seen as a human being deserving of assistance versus judged?
Mm-hmm. Now, mental health supports also probably now means more mental health supports for black youth and black teenagers as well, because I understand, too, from checking, the black teen suicide rate is going up. or is way higher than what it used to be. So that gives some indicator that some mental health needs to be strengthened there too.
Yes, not only there, I would go even further, starting in early childhood.
Okay.
And that's one of the challenges really across the country. Not only are there insufficient practitioners of color, but when you start serving younger ages, more people need to be trained, because how you provide mental health services to adults looks very different from how you do it to a child. Uh-huh. Plus that child's a part of a family unit.
Yeah.
So we really need practitioners who are skilled in all different aspects of, oh, am I helping this pregnant woman, or am I helping this preschooler? What's going on with this family? It's very nuanced, but the beauty of it is, if someone has an interest in pursuing that career, there's so many rich ways they can help their community.
What are some of the leading health issues facing African Americans? I think you mentioned heart disease at one point, and we just touched on mental health and probably diabetes. What are the major ones that your organization's research has discovered?
You know, all the big ones you can think about, we always are dying at a greater rate. So I mentioned asthma, heart disease, diabetes, cancers. That's a big one. And multiple types of cancers. And then one that's getting a lot more attention is the maternal infant mortality rate.
You would think in America we wouldn't have that issue now at all.
Oh, you would think, but we do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Lower life expectancies now too as well?
Yes. And to be honest, that's always been the case. So you know, what can we do just to start closing that gap? And that's what the center works toward, is how can we empower folks to make informed health decisions for themselves and their families, mm-hmm. but also how can we get systems to do better by us?
Yeah,
through
yeah.
advocacy and collaborating with others.
We mentioned COVID-19 a little while ago. We're still seeing effects of that. I think you mentioned 50% of Black businesses closed during the pandemic itself. So we're still dealing with the fallout?
Yes, still dealing with the fallout of fewer businesses, job loss, the rise in housing insecurity and food insecurity, which makes sense because all of those things are so clearly intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been interesting as an organization that serves community, while the authorities have said, oh, you know, COVID is over, it actually never left. You know, we have different variants. It's still wildfire, even though the current variant, which I unfortunately had recently, is less severe, and yeah. that less severe could also be because I've got vaccinated, but it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that, what did someone say one day? We got tired of COVID and talking about it. It did not tire of us, and it is still there and something to protect ourselves from.
The Affordable Care Act helped African Americans receive health insurance, and many for the first time. And that's something I think should be continued. But there are those
yes.
who are saying, well, no, we need to stop back too. But the Affordable Care Act has been a very positive governmental program for African Americans.
It really has. A couple of years ago, we did a study in partnership with the Colorado Health Institute. And it was this wonderful issue brief talking about how much the Black community had benefited from the Affordable Care Act. The challenge was, even though we were more insured, we still weren't accessing primary care. We were doing more emergency care,
yeah,
ER visits. But then when you looked into the reason why, you know, if you are working a job that won't let you off, you can't get to the doctor's office during regular times. So you'll end up in the emergency room. And that's also when I discovered that our car ownership was less than half of everyone else in Denver. So add to the fact you've got a job, you got to get on the bus, suddenly, yeah, even if I have coverage, I can't get to a doctor's office. It's 9 to 5.
Wow.
I've got to get to the emergency room when I can.
Ms. Deidre Johnson is the executive director of the Center for African American Health, focused on narrowing health disparities for Colorado's African American communities. We learn more regarding the center and their forthcoming free health expo on our next edition. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.